Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's 7:06 in the morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming on KCNR1460.com. At least I think we are. We were a little while ago. It's going to be another hot one today, and speaking of a hot one, here's Bad Bob.
Well, and good morning.
Someone's been playing with the, I think someone's been playing with the
people
dials.
People have been moving everything around here, you know, during the day when we do different types of commercials and dropping the computers off the side of the back of the thing.
It's all right.
It's all right, though. We're muddling here. Through. Hey, we got a couple questions for you later on, Bob, so you'll be alert here.
The blood is pumping through the veins.
And speaking about being alert and blood pumping through the veins, here she is.
Hey, good morning. It's going to be high today of 102. Tonight with a low of around 66. You know, we always like to start out with, if you're tuning in and just getting out of bed, what we have in store for you today. We're going to talk about a lot of things. One of the things, I'm going to give you a refresher course on how to help your four-legged friend chill out, some things to look for, and some things to help prevent your animals overheating. Very interesting some information there. We have the ACLU guys in today at 8 o'clock. And we're going to talk about a couple things that came across our desk that we just are just busting at the seams to share with you.
Well, you know, a lot of things going on. But, Bob, here's the first thing I want to talk about. And I want to tell our friends out there that this young girl that was drowned the other day down in the creek there.
Tragic.
It was absolutely tragic. And it was down in on Clear Creek, west of Redding. She didn't have a life vest on. She was 11 years old, and she was on one of those blow-up rafts.
I thought she was 13.
Well, they thought she was 13 at first, but she is 11 years old. But she was on one of those blow-up rafts like you see in a swimming pool.
Right.
I assume that that's what they mean.
Right.
And they but they went down Clear Creek. Now, Clear Creek obviously has got some rapids in it.
Near the location of the old Seltzer Dam, yes. I swam there quite a bit when I was in high school and thereabouts, and there's some rough water through there, and it's all it takes is a couple of feet, and the pressure of that water is unbelievable.
Yeah, I've taken a swim down the American River when our raft got nailed one time and swam. I was carried down the river about a mile. But here's the thing is you're going out, it's hot, it's going to continue to be hot, and you want to go out there, and some of these creeks look really inviting at the beginning. But at some point there could be rapids there. So if you're going to be out there, put a life vest on. You know, I talk to people that do a lot of fishing, and that there's one spot there, and the gentleman was telling us that he and his son, at least once a week during the summer, get the boat out, because people coming down in the on rafts or boats will turn them over right up there above them, and here they come floating down the water, and they'll be floating down, and they have to go out and pick them up. It's just that people are not paying attention when they're out there. They have to, put the life vest on, and be careful out there, my friends. It's just, you know, when we're seeing five people drown, and some of them, you know, perhaps none of them should have drowned.
Well, when we were on Shasta Lake last week, the first thing Bob said was, I do hope you were wearing your life preservers, you know. And so it's been so long for me to be out on a boat and had life preservers on. I had to think about it for a minute, because the new ones that are water ski worthy or wakeboarding, they're the flotation devices, but they felt thin. They weren't the old-fashioned bulky ones that you wear, like, you know, the big orange ones that make you feel like you've got, you know, another like 5 pounds of stuffing around your body that are very uncomfortable. Bob, you're waiting to say something.
No.
Chime in.
There are some fanny pack models. There are also inflatables that are very light and easy to wear. And the kids' models are nice and colorful, and they're really inexpensive. If you feel you can't afford them, there are some programs available at many of the marinas where you can rent them or borrow them, you know. So it's worth the kid's life to make that investment, and worth anybody's life to have that PFD on hand. Your boat should have them and not in the cellophane sitting in the bottom of the locker.
That doesn't do you a lot of good. Okay, we're going to take a break. Now, when we come back, we're going to be talking about troops finally moving to the border. We're going to talk about HIV epidemics in some U.S. cities. And how do you trade a iPod for Porsche? We're going to talk to you about that when we get back. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
July 20th, 1969.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's 7:15 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, our phone lines here are 605-4567. Hey.
Where were you on that day? Give us a call. Let us know what kind of impact did it have on you. Do you believe it? You know, we do know that there are people out there that think it's a conspiracy that we never did land on the moon. Interestingly enough, I can recall the very day, for me, I was in a modular classroom at Star King Middle School in Sacramento. I was in sixth grade, and it was Mrs. Austin's class. And it was, you know, at that time when they used to bring in the televisions on the, you know, rollers, and they would bring in and bring it in. And she made us watch it in class. And I can remember. I almost remember what I'm wearing. So it really was a magnificent time. And my father being an aeronautical engineer at Aerojet, you know, future space shuttles, his department worked on, you know, pieces of equipment and stuff that went,
right, into the space shuttles.
Right. So do you remember where you were?
No, I really don't. It was 1969. I'm not too sure. I remember the 3 or 4 years of the 60s, but I do remember that.
And
you know, the thing about it is that I've met people that say they don't believe it. They do not believe that we landed on the moon, that it was fake, that it was done in studios, and that it was or out in a desert someplace. I just said, how can you say that?
No, I know it's early.
They just said because it was going to be a publicity thing. We had to do it, and for us, you know, you can't prove that we landed on the moon.
Well, it was very interesting at the Smithsonian Museum to see the different moon suits, space suits. Now, I know it's early, but we'd love to hear from you this morning. I know you're just waking up, like, come to the phone. 605-4567. We want to hear from you. Where were you? Do you remember? Do you believe? Share with us.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is we go into that, and so we go back into saying, well, it didn't happen. I mean, there's a percentage of people didn't happen. So I look at the Smithsonian, I look at everything, I see that, you know, how they brought the suits back. I see rocks that supposedly come from the moon. I guess you could get them out of a creek someplace. But, you know, I think about people that believe in chemtrails, that chemtrails are real. And I go back again to one thing. When they start talking chemtrails, oh, gosh, you know, the government or private industry is putting millions of tons of whatever it is, nitrates, into the air to slow down global warming. I go back to that just as I do for landing on the moon. How... If this is a conspiracy, if so, you know, it would have taken thousands of people. It would have taken thousands of people to get involved with it. How come nobody said anything? Let's go to the phones. Bob.
Good morning, Carl. I'm on the...
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Where were you?
40 years ago today, I was being woken up by rude individuals banging on trash cans and tipping over racks and using language they told me 2 hours ago I would never hear.
Oh, you're at boot camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
well,
did they tell you that we just landed on the moon, or did you really give a darn?
At the moment, no, I couldn't care less. Trying to wake up. It was still dark out. I don't know.
These people are crazy. They're saying things to me. I wouldn't talk to a dog like this.
Well, I mean, so, Bob, are you a believer?
Oh, yeah, I believe we went to the moon, yeah.
Oh, good. Because, you know, there's some people out there. Tell me, in any of the people that you circulate with, do you know anybody that believes that it that it didn't happen and that it was all staged?
Oh, well, nobody's admitted to it, no.
You hang around the same people.
Well, you know, there's probably people who have, you know, they harbor these closet fears that it didn't happen. But, hey, Bob, thanks a lot. You know, you always remember boot camp. You know, people will say, yep, ask me what happened last week, and I really can't tell them. But you want to know what happened on the third day at Paris Island? On the third day after I'd gotten off the bus at Paris Island, I can probably tell you almost to a minute everything that happened that day.
Yeah.
And that was
something you never forget.
Yeah, that was 1970. Okay. Hey, yeah, thanks a lot, Bob.
You're welcome.
Where were you? Give us a call at 605-4567. You know, Carl, we know somebody who just absolutely does not think that that we ever were outside of you know, off the earth. And, you know, you personally have a picture that is on Mars from the Mars rover in a project that you were working on. It's really spectacular, and everybody that worked on that project signed it. And
but that's Mars. That doesn't prove anybody landed on the moon.
Well, but still, yeah, it's another planet.
That's true. Okay, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we want to talk about maybe a little more serious things about troops arriving at the Mexican border. You know, what's that mean? How many? The fact is that is it going to stop the number of illegals coming across? We're gonna talk about the Justice Department and the suits that are against the law for Arizona. And are we having an epidemic of HIV in the United States? It appears that we are. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back.
I don't know. Is my microphone on? Okay. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Monday.
No.
It's not.
Does it feel like Monday?
It feels like Monday for Bob. I keep beating up on Bob here. Bad Bob.
I think that, you know, when it's hot, even though it's 102, do you realize that the hottest temperature is so far historically in Redding is 118 on this day? That's hot.
That's hot.
Okay.
That's supposed to get to 102 today.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, that's one of the things we talked about is that it looks like the U.S. troops are going to arrive at the Mexican border August 1st. That they're going to be moving. U.S. National Guard troops are going to be arriving at the border. They're going to have they're going to be armed, but they are not going to be on the border. It looks like they're going to be sent there to be doing support for the area. Let's go to the phones here. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. You're on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're great.
We're great, Jim. What's up?
Just calling in about the moonshot day.
Okay.
It was 118 that day, and the asphalt cowboys had their barbecue that day. We got bombed because everyone was home in their air-conditioned houses watching the moonshot.
Wow. So are you saying that on that day it was 118?
Yes.
On July 20th, 1969.
And you guys went outside and...
Barbecued.
Right. And it, you all ate your own barbecue because everybody was home watching the moon. Landing on.
I was in charge of the beer booth, and the only way we made any money was the beer we sold to the cowboys after we closed the booth.
Well, you know, and that could have been a lot of money knowing the asphalt cowboys. That should have been a money maker, even if you had to throw all the rest of the meat away. Well, did you call the president and ask him to put this back a day?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, well, Jim, thanks for your call. That's a good memory.
You're very welcome.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Let's barbecue in 118. Talk about diehards.
Well, you know, when you're putting on the asphalt cowboys barbecue, you do it. Okay, let's go on. Let's go back to what's happening at the border here. And there's a couple of reasons that this is important. One, Would these people have been sent down there if the state of Arizona had not enacted their new law that said that anybody that, you know, they can stop people, when they stop people for regular stops, they then can determine if they are here in the United States illegally. First of all, I see nothing wrong with that, even though that so many people have a problem with it. We're going to have Doug Bennett from the ACLU will be in here today at 8 o'clock, and I'm sure that's one of the things we're going to be talking about. Anyway, the Obama administration had pledged to send up to 1,200 National Guard troops and to seek $600 million for, among other things, 1,000 new Border Patrol agents and unmanned aerial detection systems. Again, driven by what Arizona is doing. The largest share of the National Guard force, 524 troops, are going to go to Arizona. Arizona's governor, Brewer, said it did not appear to be enough or tied to any type of strategy to defeat the increasingly violent drug and alien smuggling cartels. She's right. You know, they're piecemealing this stuff because there is no plan, because Obama really doesn't care. In my opinion, he doesn't care. Just as at least Bush tried to put together an immigration plan, even though it was flawed in so many different ways and was shot down. The Justice Department, though, this week is going to take on Arizona. They're going to do it Thursday to try and block Arizona's new law. You know, it's a judge ruled on Monday. Now, this is the part that really gets to me, and it should get to you, too, is that 9 Latin American nations could join Mexico in a brief supporting one of the lawsuits. U.S. District Court Judge Susan Bolton agreed to let Ecuador, Argentina, Bolivia, Peru, Colombia, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Paraguay, and El Salvador into the case. Well, that's just what we need. We have people who are here illegally flowing across the border because Obama doesn't do anything about it. State of Arizona wants to do something about it by enforcing the federal law, and Obama's fighting against that. And at the same time, all these countries that are putting in illegals, trying to flow poor illegals into our country, have joined the court case against Arizona. So our government, in conjunction with these foreign countries, is going against the state of Arizona. Does anybody see anything wrong with this? Does anybody see something wrong with what's going on there? Why can't we close down the border? We know we can close down the border. Why doesn't the Obama administration have the guts to do that? But then again, the Obama administration is busy fighting other cases in court to prove that the health care, forcing people to buy health care insurance, is indeed a tax. It's not interstate commerce. It's taxing, so they can tax us on that. Seems like they spend a lot of time in the courtrooms doing things that harm our well-being. But then again, that could just be my opinion. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. If we come back, we're going to talk about the great things that are happening in the North State in a, maybe you might say, a more pleasant vein. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, clearly News Talk Radio.
You feeling out there, North State? 7:34 in the morning, currently 70 degrees. Temperatures going to be about 102 today. So we're kind of coming down a little bit there from 105 and 106. Just remember, the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. This Friday night out at Anselmo is Candace Lavolsi, the North State's beautiful harpist. She also plays with North State Symphony. So if you would love to have a beautiful evening of great music and five-star cuisine, beautiful ambiance, head out to Anselmo Vineyards. Make your reservations now. It sells out quickly. This morning we promised to talk about giving you a refresher course on how to help your four-legged friend chill out. You know, when the mercury rises, so does a pet's chance of suffering from heat-related illness. In nature, animals choose habitats that keep them cool, usually. And there's no official threshold for an animal's heat tolerance. So, in general, if you're hot, so is your pet. Here's something that you need to know. Obese animals and those with heart or lung diseases are at greater risks of heat stroke, as are pets with thick coats, short noses, or flat faces, including boxers and English bulldogs. Respiratory problems that prevent effective panting also pose a risk, since this is how animals get rid of most excess heat. Remember to drink up. Signs of heat overheating include dry gums, sunken eyes, lethargy, and skin that has lost, I love this word, I think it's turgidity, which is the ability to snap back into place when pulled, as with the skin on the back of the neck. So here's a couple tips. A child's wading pool can be a refuge. Indoors, always have drinking water available. And you might put out frozen water bottles for your small pets to lie against. A bigger pet might enjoy a water-filled bed, if you want to go that far. But, in, you know, we... A water-filled bed, which you can get at most pet stores.
Now, is this like a water bed?
I think.
Again, put like ice cubes in it?
Carl and I adamantly are saying on a regular basis, never leave your pet in a car because it can quickly reach 120 degrees. That is amazing how hot that can be. Limit your dog's exercise to brief walks on the hottest days and steer them towards grass. Since hot pavement, again, we've seen people walking their dogs in this weather, can burn their paws. Now, I'm going to give you a little the signs and steps to take from the heat stroke. A pet can suffer heat stroke even in 80-degree days if they haven't been acclimated to the temperature. And here's what you can do for your dog or cat. Here's the signs. Elevated body temperature, panting or drooling, inability to be calmed, weakness or inability to stand, fast heart rate, vomiting or bloody diarrhea, seizures, wobbly walk, a stupor or collapse. I mean, some of those things are you know, blatantly out there as far as my dog's not well.
I've seen some of our board operators act like that.
Well, you know, this weekend we had Snooki outside, and she wanted to visit with a lot of people, and she was panting, and she was, I had to take her a couple times and put her for time out, you know, inside the air-conditioned room back in the bedroom. And I think that now that I read some of these signs, and I've
sensed she was overheating.
I think she was overheating. So here's some steps to take. Of course, remove the pet from direct heat. Take their temperature with a pediatric rectal thermometer. It's more than if it's more than 104 degrees, the normal is 100 to 102 for dogs and cats. Here's how to begin your cooling measures. You spray with some cool water. Put wet towels around their head, their neck, their feet, their chest, and abdomen. Or direct a fan toward them, gradually taking the temperature in between so you don't cool them too quickly. Recheck the temperature at 103 degrees. Stop the cooling measures, and you should take your pet to a veterinary hospital immediately. It's important to get them checked, even if your pet seems to be normal. And because we live in such a hot climate here in Reading, I'm on the board at the Benton Dog Park, and I really believe in you know, caring for your pets and responsibility for your pets. So we just thought it was really important to share that information with you this morning.
Okay, thanks. Well, it's true, you know. And the thing that has always gotten me is I'll see a very small dog, which means their stomach is close to the ground, and somebody's walking them. It's 102 degrees outside, and they're walking them across the crosswalks. Then onto the sidewalk, and you don't see them picking them up because, you know, the asphalt's got to be 125, 130 there. So, hey, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and, as promised, talk about HIV epidemics in some of our cities and what's causing it, and is it preventable, and can we keep it from spreading? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is...
Carl and Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. And it is walking on sunshine for 102 degrees today. It's KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com or write to Linda at Linda@KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by V&T Satellite. Off Airport Road, you'll see a bunch of satellite dishes right in front of the business there, down from Burrito Bandito. They've been servicing local customers since 1985. Doug Tooley, 82nd Airborne veteran, has been giving great service to all of his customers since 1985. He has been building home theater systems. He'll bring in a surround sound. He'll give you dish satellite and offers with, you know, they offer with under circumstances that they will explain to you under their contracts how to get HD free for life. That's B&T Satellite off Airport Road. The phone number there is 244-1988. There's cities in the U.S., it seems like, are going through an HIV epidemic. The Center for Disease Control found that poverty is the single most important factor linked to HIV infection among inner-city heterosexuals. That the urban areas across the United States have epidemics of AIDS, with 2.1% of heterosexuals in poverty-stricken urban areas affected with AIDS. He said the research shows, and this is an HIV/AIDS expert from the CDC, a widespread HIV epidemic in America's inner cities. More than 1.1 million people in the United States are infected with the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, that causes AIDS, according to HDC. Many studies have shown that blacks, gay, and bisexual men and Hispanics are the most affected groups. And the study found heterosexuals in the poor city neighborhoods are also hit hard. So what they're saying is that we know that this is where an epidemic is, and to stop this, to slow it down, they're going to have to put new funding into it and put more money into the poor areas to prevent this. Now, it seems to me is that one of the things that there's a variety of ways to prevent becoming infected with HIV. And one of it is, of course, that you don't do anything or you stay monogamous with your partner or that you use some kind of protection. And I've never known where you can't get protection to prevent or at least help prevent sexually transmitted diseases anywhere in the United States. So is it the fact that if the material is not available, or is it that people don't care, or what is it?
You wonder, you know, because you're talking about this particular article is about the more poverty-stricken areas, correct?
Yes, okay. and it's very poor areas.
Right. So, do you think it's simply not caring? Is there, with maybe idle time, there's more promiscuity? I'm not sure. I mean, the study is interesting.
It is. You know, and then we looked at heterosexuals. They did not include gay or bisexual men, sex workers, or injecting drug users in this. They just looked at heterosexuals in the inner cities. And again, they're saying if people are poor, the chances of them having HIV gets a lot higher. So they want to do is prioritize the HIV prevention efforts in disadvantaged communities. And I can see that. If you've got, for the Center for Disease Control, you've got a lot of, you know, impacts in certain areas. Can you prevent it by putting in more people, by putting in more education, more teaching, you know, making it available, making protective devices more, you know, more available to everybody? Or how do you change the mindset on this, which is what you're saying? Anyway, that's it's not a surprise that this is happening, because we're experiencing this breakdown in many cases of our society. That things that used to be bad, things you used to not do, have become accepted. You know, things that you grew up with. You know, the you know, your regulations, the the way you grew up, you know, taking responsibility, telling the truth, you know, seems like now it can be challenged. You know, if doing the right thing could be challenged. And so I guess it's not a surprise that when society starts breaking down, you start seeing results like this. Is that the economy being going down. But the economy going down does not mean that you have a breakdown. You don't have to have a breakdown in families. You don't have to have a breakdown in morality. If you look at what happened during the Depression, you know, my parents grew up during the Depression. Many others, you know, out there listening's parents grew up in the Depression, or their grandparents grew up in the Depression. They kept their families together. They kept it going. They didn't come apart like this. And I would say even in the inner cities back then, they didn't come apart like they have now. And that they, you know, that you didn't have those types of problems back then. Sure, you had problems, but you didn't have the problems that we're having now.
Well, when I was in Sacramento, you know, I was very involved with the Sacramento AIDS Foundation. And I did several fundraisers and attended several meetings. And that spanned about 10 years of my life. And at that time, it wasn't just it was heterosexual and homosexual. You know, it was not gay. It wasn't just a gay disease. It was a lot of people were affected with transfusions, were very, very thought that they were in a very faithful straight relationship, and one of the partners decided to
stray.
And there's just an underbelly, underbelly world that we have that you don't really want to even pay attention to, because it's just it happens. It happens. It could be your next door neighbor. It could be anybody that we know that has another kind of lifestyle. And when they bring that home, that partner becomes infected, that whole family then and community around that family really falls apart. So this is just an interesting study. It's a very interesting study, and something that they didn't do 10 years ago, or that I was aware of in my studies of it.
You know, but it still goes back down into breaking down on that morality side, is that if, you know, if somebody goes out and cheats on their partner and comes home with a communicable disease, you know, 50 years ago, if this happened, if a person would come home with gonorrhea or venereal disease, something like that, curable. Now, you can come home and give to your partner something that could kill them. But the point is that everybody knows about it. It's like suing smoke, you know, the tobacco companies, because you've got throat cancer after smoking because you've been smoking for 30 years, the last 30 years. And so you start smoking well after they've been warning everybody that smoking's bad for you. You shouldn't smoke. If you're pregnant, you should never smoke. You know, blah, 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 on ad nauseum. And yet people still do it. So it's not like the information's out there. They just choose not to. Carl and DeBot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
I'm Dr.
Good morning, Reading! 7:54 in the morning. We're taking your call, 605-4567.
Welcome back. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's going to be 102 degrees today. Go into Espresso Joe's, get the iced coffee, get the smoothies they have, drop on over to the tobacco side, pick up that great cigar and that great humidor they have. Joe and Shelley have a great emporium there. You can buy, besides great drinks and coffees, all types of coffee making apparatus, French press, espresso machines, everything. And then they're going to show you how to use it. Or if you've got one already, they'll show you how to use the one you bought, even if you didn't buy it there. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Stephen Ortiz.
Yes.
17, from Glendora, California, managed to barter an old cell phone all the way up to a Porsche, marking trades on Craigslist.
So on Craigslist, starts with a cell phone?
A few trades later, he had an iPod. Then came a dirt bike, a truck, some cars, a sports utility vehicle, and finally a 2000 Porsche.
All off of Craigslist?
He says, yep. And he says, a lot of my friends are jealous. A lot of my friends come up to me and tell me, you want to trade my phone for a car? Try to get me a Ferrari, man. I tell him it's not easy, he says. It takes time and patience, definitely. Steven just got his driver's license and says he's looking forward to enjoying the results of all that hard work. So here's this kid, starts off with an old cell phone, barters his way up to a 2000 Porsche. I mean, that kid, if you were a headhunter, that's the guy you want to have marketing, figuring out. You know, he's one of those speed whiz kids that knows how to be able to take the electronic world of Craigslist, how we are all so connected.
Well, it makes you wonder.
Through our computers.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, okay, he starts off with an old cell phone. And this is Craigslist. This isn't eBay. So maybe, I wonder if any money changed hands there at all. In case, you know, did he, after he got the iPod, and then somebody trades it for an old dirt bike for an iPod, and so then he fixes that up, and it goes up to another one, and then another one. I mean, this, to me, is this is a success story. And it would be interesting to talk to him, if we could find him, say, how would you do that?
A 2000 Porsche. It's really funny because you said Porsche, and we had a guest on the show that has, like, I think, five Porsches. They're very involved with the Porsche club. And he said two syllables. Porsche is two syllables.
Well,
we stand corrected.
Yeah, when I tell you what, when I buy my very first Porsche, then I'll maybe talk about it. Right now I can talk about my Ford. You know, Ford, one syllable, American made. And guess what? You know, everybody laughs at my Ford truck, my Ford F-150 truck, until they have to carry stuff around. Then I become everybody's best friend. Yeah. And, you know, the other part is, hey, would you mind driving? Oh, hey, would you mind carrying? So
you know what we decided to do this week? You know, we could have gone out and rented a car. I've got my my Lexus in being fixed because we were sideswiped, hit and run last year, this time in August. I mean, it's enough that it's not that bad. It's kind of like a scar that you look past. You know what I'm talking about. You can have a scar on your face. You look past it. It was on the left rear well. And we took it in to Coachmaster. And we told you earlier this week what a great experience it was just walking in there and seeing the professionalism. And Don, the owner, took us on a tour, and we were just like, wow. So my car is going to be in there all week, and we're going to share. Instead of using another vehicle, we're going to see how easy it is for us to share the truck all week.
So far, it's been real easy for Linda since the truck's been in her possession.
I just drop them off.
So if you see me walking down the streets, you know, with a little sign that says, need a ride.
Need transportation.
Need transportation. Just, you know, feel sorry for me. Pick me up. Take me from spot to spot around here. I promise we won't go that far.
We're challenging each other.
That's right.
Hey, it's good.
Hey, you know what? Our guest in the next hour is going to be Doug Bennett.
Speaking of challenge,
will be Doug Bennett. And I believe one other gentleman, I didn't catch his name, from the American Civil Liberties Union. Now, I think there's probably some questions we all need to talk about. What is the ACLU? Why is the ACLU do some of the things it does? And you may be surprised at some of the lawsuits that the ACLU has gotten into. I know that I was when I've been researching it, and there was, you know, some that were kind of okay, but there's a couple that I am really, my hair's on fire after reading about it. So when we come back, Doug Bennett from the ACLU will be our guest. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:06 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, our phone lines here are 605 1-800-795-4567. We're streaming on KCNR1460.com, and you can write to Linda at linda@KCNR1460.com.
That's right. We are taking your emails, and if you're just tuning in, we want to let you know that it's going to be 102 today. It's currently around 73 degrees, and the temperature, well, it's a beautiful day out, so make sure to keep hydrated. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Again, taking your emails, linda@KCNR1460.com.
Good morning, and we're back as promised. Our guest for this hour is the American Civil Liberties Union, Doug Bennett and John Ertl.
Ertl. Close enough.
You know what, Doug, spelled your you have to spell it the way it sounds. Doug.
Okay.
You made it look like Ertl.
Okay.
Ertl. Got it.
I'll take the blame.
Okay. Now. ACLU was formed back in 1920. It started one of the founders was back in 1920, and has had a impact on our landscape of our society.
It certainly has. In fact, it was actually back in 1934 that the ACLU NC Northern California down in San Francisco was originally founded, and last year we celebrated our 75th anniversary.
All right. Now, the original premise was, I think, the three people that started the ACLU, John Baldwin, and then there was a lady, was that going back too far?
Yeah, too far for me anyway. I wasn't around then, but early 20s. And I think it had a lot to do with the women's suffrage movement and labor movements at those times were very strong.
That's what I understood, that it was, in fact, one of the founders was a union lawyer. A lady, and it did have to do with suffrage movements about getting the women the right to vote, equal rights for women. And when they started, they knew that this was going to bring fire down on them when they started. But it seems like the ACLU really hasn't changed since then. I mean, their basic parameters, or am I wrong?
No, I would say that the mission is still the same. That as we say, we see justice through. And we're out to protect everyone's civil rights and civil liberties. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or a communist or anything else, if you have a message and you believe your rights are being trampled on, then you should certainly contact the ACLU. We are not a political organization. Many people believe that. Many people believe that we are aligned with a particular political philosophy. And that is absolutely untrue.
You don't have one wing of the ACLU that's a political lobbyist group?
The ACLU is split in many ways. There's a national level.
Yeah, but there is a lobbyist group for the ACLU.
There is. There's.
So it is a political group then.
Well, it's. But they don't lobby for parties, and they don't lobby for individuals. They lobby over issues.
They're still a political lobby group, though.
They're allowed to lobby, that's right, okay. But over legislation. They're not supporting any party or any candidate specifically.
Oh, well, you don't have to. There's lots of lobbyists up there that are single-issue lobbyists, like for oil. They're in there. That doesn't mean they're supporting either one. In fact, they're going to both parties and handing out money.
Right. We would be supporting justice in that sense, lobbying for justice.
Justice. Okay. Well, you know what? That's a good point, but we've got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss justice. And, people, what people believe is justice, and then what is legal. And there's a difference, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
At least under the auspices of the law. Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
In a medical...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:13 in the morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's going to hit 102 today at 79 degrees right now. Phone lines here are 605-4567. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. DC Tim and the Man in Black cut hair. They're not stylists. They just give great haircuts at great prices. It's Man's Last Stronghold right there off Athens Avenue. You're gonna go in there. You'll have you'll see the car and driver, American mechanic, guns and ammo and all those kind of things. Great guys. They give great haircuts. That's Cypress Square Barbershop right on Athens Avenue. Okay, our guests are Doug Bennett and John Ertl from the American Civil Liberties Union right here in Northern California. They both live here in Reading.
Yes.
And we talked about a little bit in a break about some of the things that are going on. They wanted to talk about some of the local issues, which is fine. This is community radio. So when we start talking local issues, John, which ones are you talking about specifically?
Specifically, I would say the injunction that was granted against the Shasta Union High School District, which a couple of years ago greatly expanded drug testing among its students. Originally, it was just the athletic players, kids on the football team, tennis players, that sort of thing. And then for some reason, the administration thought it had the right to greatly expand it to any kind of what it called extracurricular activities, which could include band members, kids on the school newspaper, that sort of thing. The ACLU went to court here locally, got an injunction, and the injunction is still in effect, and we haven't had a full court hearing yet.
Well, why is it okay to test people on the football team and not the debate team?
Because the Supreme Court has said that you could actually test kids who are involved in in sports.
Extracurricular activities?
No. Just in sports. But somehow the administration decided that it could expand that. Now, why it decided to do that, you would have to ask them. But
well, isn't that discrimination then? Against the football players?
The Supreme Court apparently doesn't think so, because the Supreme Court has ruled, and I'm not an attorney, but I've read enough about it, that the Supreme Court has said, yes, you can test student-athletes. That's the perimeters. And the ACLU doesn't believe that it ever went beyond that. But for some reason, the administration up at Shasta High apparently thought it had the right to do that.
Yeah, and I think in the case of football players and people in sports, it's a question of safety. The wrong drugs and physical activities don't go well together.
Well, what if they take something like if they smoke a lot of weed before they go on a debate team and they appear to be stupid? Is that harmful?
It might be harmful for their image. I don't think it's harmful to them.
Oh, okay. So, okay, I'm just wondering.
So, well, and the problem with laws like this that you would think they're supposed to be random, but many times they're not, and some students get targeted, and then it's an invasion of privacy. There was actually one of the young girls that was tested, and she tested false positive in the first place, and then it showed that she was on other drugs and birth control and things that were personal privacy issues. So, and those things were shown to the administration of the school. And so I think there's privacy issues that we have to worry about, too.
Well, I believe in privacy, I support that, and I support the rights of the individual. But if you have students at school that are participating at school in activities that are sponsored by the school, isn't this what they were saying? Is that this is why they should be able to test them for drugs, so it would go across the gamut of it? And the fact is that you can, I know you can test for just specific type drugs. The fact that that birth control pills is horribly wrong. But if you were looking for meth or or cocaine or heroin or something like that, you don't put them at those levels or illegal drugs. You know, the school, because the school's sponsored, school's putting them out, as giving them spaces there and putting them on buses and everything. And so you're saying, if I understand you right, is the school doesn't have a right to test those people.
Well, I think it's like anybody else. Your probable cause is usually the basis, the reasoning. Now, if you don't have any reason to believe that a kid, or anyone for that matter, has done something criminal, then why do you criminalize them by testing them? And the other point is that usually the kids that do the extracurricular activities that are the healthy kids. The ones on drugs are usually the ones that are not doing those activities. So many times you're targeting the wrong kids. And like I say, if you get a false positive or if something else is divulged about these kids, their privacy is invaded.
And that's completely wrong.
Yeah, and it happens. And it happens, in fact, that's the way it first came to my attention.
Yeah. Well, that's wrong, if you're divulging things that, that you're not looking for and it gets out to a lot of people, that's wrong. You know, John, from what I understand then is, when you say heart targeting for you, Doug, it's anybody that gets tested, is that a target? Or is it because they're in a specific group, like, I don't know what it was, cheerleading, or what group was it that started the band? So was band a specific group that you believe was targeted? Is this why it started, or was it just the overall?
I believe it was just the overall, because when we asked a few questions, it got down to their definition of extracurricular could have been anything up to a kid who was on the school newspaper. And yes, it's considered extracurricular in that sense, but why do you have to drug test him? I think one of the concerns parents have is that it sounds like, well, if you've got a kid on drugs, the school can't do anything about it. And that's certainly not true. The school can certainly take steps, notify the student, notify the parent, take all the appropriate steps that have to be taken to get this kid help. But that doesn't mean that just because they're involved in an extracurricular activity, the school has the right to go ahead and say, okay, we're going to target you, we're going to test you for no apparent reason.
How about a all-campus, your analysis test? You know, why not, if you get everybody? Is that okay then?
Does that include the teachers? Does that include the administration?
No, you're talking students right now. I think it should. Personally, yeah. You know, if you're going to drug test, yeah, it should be everybody. But if you're saying the students that we're responsible for, that they're supposed to be in class doing these things, so you're saying just because it's a specific group. So if you did the whole campus, and they did random your analysis, yeah, I mean, you could do that. Is that, now that's wrong. Or does that meet the requirements of everybody?
Well, it wouldn't meet the requirements of everybody, but that's not the requirement anyway. So they're discriminating in a certain sense because it's kids on extracurricular activities. But the point is, and going back to my original point, if there is no probable cause, no reason this kid isn't doing anything strange, weird, unusual, dangerous to other students or themselves, it's just, like you said, well, it's just about the students. Well, the students have the same rights as anybody else. So it's really about students' rights. They're protected also. Their privacy is protected. Their rights are protected. If somebody came in here and said, I want to test everybody on your staff right now, go pee in a cup, you wouldn't do it, I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't do it. And not because I use drugs or don't use drugs. I don't. But I would not, just because I feel that's my right.
But to be hired here, we can have them do that. And we can tell under auspices of being hired here, mm-hmm. we're telling you that every so often you're going to be tested randomly.
Well, that would be a private employer and an employee that would agree.
And that's okay. We can do that.
Sure.
Okay. All right. You know, this is interesting. And so now it's still an injunction, right? So are they still trying to figure this out? I mean, you're saying it's
still in the court system.
Okay.
There's still an ACLU attorney down in San Francisco who's working on it. I haven't heard from him recently, but when last we did hear that the injunction was still in place.
Okay. All right. Hey, this is Carl Lindebaum, Free Fire Radio. Our guests today are John Ertle and Doug Bennett from the American Civil Liberties Union. We're talking about in this last segment, we talked about the injunction out at Shasta High School to stop the random drug testing of everybody that's in extracurricular activities except the athletes. And where we're at there. We come back, we're going to talk about a few other issues that are local and then a couple of national issues. So our phone lines here are 605-4567. Feel free to just jump in here. Carl Lindebaum, clearly, News Talk Radio.
The average adult.
Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. You're listening to Carl and Lindebaum here. Good morning. It's currently 82 degrees. It's going to be 102 today. Our guests,
Doug Bennett and John Ertle of the American Civil Liberties Union. We've been talking local, a couple of local cases. Let's go to the next one, medical marijuana. Doug, you were in a little panel we had there where we had a grower, a recipient of it, and a seller.
At one of our
noon shows.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was an interesting panel. And I think it's an interesting subject all around the state because every county and every city has a different approach. So, and some of the approaches don't really honor patient privacy or other civil rights. In other words, two sheriffs can get together and walk into your home if you're a grower, even though you're legal. And so there's been issues, civil rights issues, and Fourth Amendment issues surrounding this, But the city of Reading's been pretty good at working with people, so I have to give them credit. They had the most comprehensive ordinance that was put forward.
Well, we have, I think, I saw the other day 19 collectives that are selling right now. I thought at one point they were up to 30. In fact, during our panel, there was, they said there was like 30. So some of them have fallen by the wayside, obviously. Hooray for capitalism.
Yeah.
And, well, that's exactly what's causing it. Yeah. And then they were telling each other about the places that were selling the bad stuff. And my gosh, it sounds like
a
bunch of girls out there.
The situation has, here in the North State has been almost ravaged is the word I want to say. Kind of almost pillaged, if you will, in the sense that, if people, when there's a buck to be made, it's almost like the gold rush, just rape the land. And that's what's happening in some of the territories outside in Trinity County and Hayfork and such, and we've heard that kind of thing. So you're right. There, it seems to be that there's a place for it. Some people, I can understand why, again, we say this on a regular basis, why some people... better than Vicodin, don't take Vicodin and the things that can really harmfully hurt you, and that the medical marijuana does have its place. But where do you guys come in with this?
Well, I think we're, in general, it's the law, first of all. It was a proposition passed on a ballot, so it's the law. Patients are allowed to have it, and they need it. I really think there have been a lot of studies done, and for glaucoma and pain and cancer patients, it's doing a lot of good, and there is a good medicinal application to it. So, and the patients have the right to that, and their caregivers have the right to provide that to them. Where the problem comes in is whether they're legitimate patients or some of these doctors. I've visited a couple of the clinics because I like to know what I'm talking about, and it's pretty much a parade. So I would agree that there are people that are getting that shouldn't be getting it probably, but that's 50, not my 50, call.
50%?
60%? Oh, I wouldn't want to put a percent basis because I don't know what their medical history is. But, if you have a hangnail and you're 16 years old, you don't need marijuana, right? So I think the doctors have to be more...
Yeah, if you have braces and you're 18, you do.
On your teeth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, that was one of the ones they handed out.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm sure there's some abuse of it because there's money to be made, like Linda said. So, but that's another issue. Now, that's a medical issue, and maybe that's an issue for the California Medical Association. But basically, the California Medical Association, the American Medical Association, has looked for rescheduling of the drug marijuana so that it could actually be tested properly scientifically to find out what the true application should be. And according to the law of the state of California, these patients are entitled to it. So we shouldn't make it difficult on them to get that medicine.
Well, and nobody's arguing that. But what we're getting, and we've had people from Hayfork and a supervisor from Trinity County, they're destroying the land out there. When they said you could grow your own to help yourself or to help somebody else, I don't think they envision, and this is another example of stupidity of people not realizing what they're right and know what they're voting on, or people implementing it, is that people up there are literally getting a recommendation and selling it to growers for a few thousand dollars. And because of that, now they've got more plants they can go, so now they're coming in and they're planting thousands of plants. They're not, they're putting insecticides that are illegal in the United States. They found that in this, and it's destroying it. We've got to take a break here. When we come back, we want to finish up on this, and then there's a couple other questions we have. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Our guests are Doug Bennett and John Ertl from the American Civil Liberties Union. Join us after these messages.
8:33, and you're listening to Free Fire Radio. We are talking with the gang from the ACLU. We've got questions, emails coming in. Email me, linda@kcnr1460.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite off Airport Road. Doug Tooley, the owner, is from the 82nd Airborne. He is obviously a veteran and a great guy who's going to come in and do work. If you are looking at even thinking about DISH, Satellite TV, this is the guy to go to. He's been serving local customers since 1985. So go check out Doug on Airport Road, BNT Satellite.
Okay, our guests are Doug Bennett and John Ertl from the American Civil Liberties Union. We talk about some of the local things here. You know, medical marijuana could go on and on. This is a 12. That would be a 25-hour show. We all know that. I know that Missy McArthur, and by the way, everybody, tonight at the city council meeting, there's going to be a number of things. Starts at 6 p.m. down at City Hall. It's, I think it's on 777 Cypress, I believe, is the address. We made jokes about that, about how lucky was that number. But the other things we're going to talk about is the police unions and the retirement and other questions like that, all coming up tonight. Taxing of medical marijuana. The police unions, it's going to be a action-packed 3 hours, I can tell you that. I'm going to be down there, so get there, get your seats early. I have a feeling a lot of policemen are going to be there. Let's change speeds here for a little bit. There's been one court case that has hit, and it's near and dear to me and probably to other veterans, and I know, Doug, that you're a veteran. It's this one out of Colorado, I believe, where a man wore metal, said he was a Marine, and had the Silver Star, he had Purple Hearts, and wore this. And there was a law called the Stolen Valor Law that made it illegal for people to wear a uniform and wear the medals of people who have fought and died for this country, defended this country, and made it illegal for people to do that. And a judge, I think in Colorado, just said that law was too broad, and so what if he did that? There's no law against lying, I think is essentially what he said. He dismissed the case and said the law is unconstitutional, ruling the government did not show it has a compelling reason to restrict this type of statement. He had said he received the Purple Heart and Silver Star, and he was charged with violating the Stolen Valor Act, which says it's a crime punishable by up to a year in jail to falsely claim to have won military medals. Now, this was the American Civil Liberties Union. I think it was Christopher Beale. He is a friend of the court brief in the American Civil Liberties Union. Mm-hmm. Said that the Stolen Valor Act is fatally flawed because it doesn't require prosecutors to show anyone was harmed or defamed by the lie. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, it isn't illegal to lie. We know that because half the advertisers in the world would be locked up, and then half the politicians in the world would be locked up. So,
I think you're thinking too small there.
Well, I'm thinking that, yeah, it could be larger. I'm trying to be conservative. But
I've heard that about you. You're a conservative kind of guy, Doug.
I am when it comes to statistics. I'd rather fall on the side of a pretty good chance of being right. But, no, I think, and in fact, there's a law anyway, any military man is not supposed, after he's out of the military, he's not supposed to wear his uniform any longer. And especially, well, I guess you can wear the jacket, but you have to strip the insignia and the rank off of it. So, and I think that's done out of respect.
I don't think that's true. People that have retired and or been retired out of the military, I've seen them. Well, what about the ones that are out there for honor guards and things like this? And you're saying that they can't do that?
Well, I think there's a law that actually is against that because you don't want people pretending to be officers. I mean, what happens if I dress up, I find my old uniform, I dress up, I go into some outfit and start handing out orders and people start following orders? And I saw this while I was in the military, actually. We had a guy that had been in the Air National Guard, and he had dressed up on the Air Force base and put on, looked like he was a captain.
That's against the UCMJ on base doing that. But I mean, as far as veterans from World War II or Korea or Vietnam or any of these to wear their uniform, as long as they meet, according to the Marine Corps, was that as long as you meet the military grooming regulations and the heightened physical regulations, that you're allowed to wear that uniform.
Well, that's not my understanding.
But that's not what the point is.
No.
The point is here is that people who have not been in the service that are wearing or they're lying about medals of valor that they won. And they're saying here is that, so what? Mm-hmm. You can do that. It's just a lie.
Well, and going back to the lie, if we're talking about First Amendment rights here. Anybody can come in and say anything they want. As long as it's not defamatory or dangerous. I can't yell fire in the middle of the theater, that sort of thing. But there's nothing to prevent anybody from telling a lie any time. So I think I agree with you, it's kind of despicable to claim some sort of valor or some sort of honor that wasn't yours, but as far as being illegal.
What if you use it to obtain things?
Well, that would be fraud. So
it should be something that
I would say that would be fraud, because if you tell a lie to benefit at the cost of somebody else, that's fraud.
Yeah, well,
we have an email.
Sure.
Okay, and the question it would be, when would or should someone contact the ACLU as opposed to, say, a lawyer?
Maybe John wants to take this. I think he's got some information.
Well, as I understand it, Reading does not have a lot of civil rights attorneys. Reading does have a lot of attorneys in general, but I don't know that any of them specialize in civil rights or civil liberties. So anyone who does have that sort of question, concern, and there are quite a few people in this area who think that their civil rights have been trampled on, they can certainly contact us. Our board chairman is a gentleman by the name of Don Yost, and I can give out his phone number. May I give out his phone number?
Oh, sure. Sure. That's what we're here for.
Don is here in Reading, and Don's phone number is 241-8421. You can also contact the local chapter at P.O. Box 494478 in Reading, 96049. And then if that isn't enough information, you can also contact the organization down in San Francisco, of which we are an affiliate, and that's at www.aclunc.org.
I'm sure that'll go over big up here.
Well,
hey, local guys, you're a local. You know, we can do that. Okay, look, we've got to take a break here. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Carl Lindebaugh, KCNR 1460. It is 8:43 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guests are Doug Bennett and John Ertl of the ACLU.
And you know what? What's great about this segment is that, again, here on Free Fire Radio, we would love to be able to open conversation, agree to disagree, bring it out on the table. Let's kind of dissect it.
Yeah, because, you know, I just want to say one thing about the stolen dollar thing is I find it more than despicable. I understand, they're just lying, but you know what? Just lying is like people just not accepting responsibility. People walking out there wearing these medals of valor, and that's exactly what they are, to get the accolades of people that, you know, that then pour over them respect and honor based on just what they see on their chest. That's wrong. I realize what you're saying, a lie. But when viscerally, this affects so many people when they see that, because so many people have died. They have somebody, some scumbag, some, you know, worthless person doing this is just, to me, is hurtful. And I think that it harms a lot of people in the sense that they're being used. And that's where I'm coming from on this.
Yeah, I don't disagree with all of that, but I think what with the last phrase of the Pledge of Allegiance is liberty and justice for all. And so you have to be careful when you're talking about the law and your rights. Not only does the ACLU have to defend the rights of unpopular groups, but we also have to do that across the board. And so the basic idea is to support the rule of law. And without the rule of law, without the Constitution, and without a functional court system, we lose our democracy.
No, absolutely. And democracy is based on trust, though, would you say?
Well, I think it's...
In many ways, our government and democracy is based on the fact that we trust that the Constitution does guarantee us certain rights.
But it's a constant vigil. You know, a patriot has to be vigilant, and that goes for the ACLU, too. We have to be vigilant in making sure that no one's rights are destroyed. Because if you allow it to happen to one person, then who's next? This is what Hitler did. He picked off one group at a time. Took the unpopular Jews, and then he took the unpopular whatever,
Catholics,
atheists.
And then
yeah.
It worked its way down.
That's right. And then, like the famous priest said, then there was nobody to protect me after he took everybody else.
Well, let's go to the phones. We have a caller. Kay, you're on the line. You're live here on KCNR.
Hi, Linda and Carl.
Good morning.
Hi. I just like to say I was in music and also in speech, you know, in drama. and when I was in high school and in junior high. And when I, as I got older, and drugs became more popular, you know, and we traveled, you know, every once in a while you travel for
concerts, performances,
festivals and things. And it became more popular that kids were on drugs. And it really ruined, number one, it's not a good reflection on the school. And number two, it ruins the experience for the kids who aren't on drugs. I mean, one time we were in the bus and the two guys behind me had been smoking marijuana and drinking tequila. And when they got on the bus, we hadn't gone very far, and they threw up, and they just missed my friend and I by just fraction of an inch, throwing up down our necks. And I think that, you know, and then also the performance aspect too. You know, I mean, even though they're not in sports, it's still important to.
So you're a vote for this. If you're going to be representing the school, then they should be drug tested. Randomly.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, okay.
But I support the school because I think in the drama and music, I think you need to have students who are drug free.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that, which is what a lot of people were saying, whether it's a you know, whether you agree with it or not. That's what they're thinking. John?
Yes, students should be drug-free. Absolutely, positively. I think we should all be drug-free. I don't take any kind of illicit drugs. I certainly don't promote it. But at the same time, at what point does it end? The Supreme Court, again, has said, okay, you can test student-athletes. It doesn't say anywhere that you can expand that. And for some reason, again, the administration at Shasta High somehow felt that it had the right to do that. And apparently a judge in this area disagreed with that, because again, where does it end? Where does it start, and where does it end?
I understand that concept.
To me, it's the same as if we can just randomly test students for, I guess, anything, then why don't we just expand that to the whole community? Why don't we just say, okay, a police officer can just pull you over and randomly drug test you, so because you're not doing anything wrong. Yeah, again, at what point does it end? And the law clearly says the police can't do that.
That leads to another question, but we've got one from a listener. Linda?
Well, the ACLU has taken lots of cases. This is an email that just recently came in. Some that appeal to conservatives and some to liberals. Can you highlight a couple of free speech or civil rights issues that the ACLU and conservatives have been on the same side?
Well, the obvious one would be Rush Limbaugh and protecting his medical records. A lot of people thought that Rush Limbaugh was going to go to jail, but once the ACLU stepped in and wrote a legal brief saying, no, you can't use his medical records as evidence against him. So, maybe that's protecting free speech also in the conservatives' view, I'm not sure, but I think it's one example of where protecting a person's privacy worked out for everybody.
We're going to take a quick break and come back. Our guests are Doug Bennett and John Ertl from the ACLU, and going into our last segment. And I've got another case that we wanted to take a look at. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Back. Down.
Well, good morning. It's 8:52 here on Free Fire Radio. You're tuning in 1460. That's us. Coming up, Dennis Miller. But we're here with ACLU this morning, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Inside of Tobacco and Brew, which has a beautiful walk-in humidor, and inside of Tobacco and Brew is Espresso Joe's. So go get your iced coffee. They also have a wonderful selection of anything that to make a great cup of coffee, and also wine and beer.
We don't have enough time to talk about Arizona. I want to ask you all to come back, because I know the ACLU is up to, and in fact, on your website, it says that how Arizona has a history of rampant racial profiling and that it's unconstitutional, even though it hasn't gone to court yet to say that. And everybody, we all have our own thoughts on that. In fact, one of the things on the ACLU website is what to do if you're pulled over by a policeman. And I was expecting, I really was, I was expecting all kinds of wild things. Very good information on that for anybody if you're pulled over by a police officer.
And if anyone would like a card, either in English or Spanish, as to what to do when you're pulled over by the police, I have many, many of them.
Why would they need one in Spanish?
Because we have a lot of Spanish-speaking people in Shasta, Tehama, and Trinity County, which is what this chapter serves.
And in fact, your first when that, that part on your website, the first part of it is Spanish, and the second part is English. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Anyway, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. The ACLU jumped right in the middle of that one, and the NAMBA's goal is to end the extreme oppression of men and boys in mutually consented relationships. Now, ACLU went in and went in to protect their right for man-boy.
Well, I'm not familiar with the case, I don't hang out there. But I do understand, and it goes back to the same thing: liberty and justice for all. So if
these are pedophiles.
Oh, well, you didn't say many, that.
Well, that's what it is. If North American Man-Boy Love Association, if you read about it,
yeah,
they're talking about young men, boys with men.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the case, and I'm not familiar with the group, so I probably can't even remark on
I should maybe. Yeah. It's just, you know, when I'm looking up things, both positive and not so positive, was that this was one of the things the ACLU was involved with in the defense of their ability to coexist out there.
I would add, though, that the ACLU is supporting equal rights for gay and lesbian people. So that's, I don't know.
I don't
that
see
that's that
the
that
same.
Applies.
There's one thing if you're of age, it's when you get into the man-boy side of it.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm having
that.
Some real problems with here. If you're consenting adults and you want to go out and do something, that's fine. Again, I go back into that, freedom of the individual. But when you start getting into men and boys, children, that to me is a different one.
So, what would you say at the top of your list right now is the hottest topic that's going on with the ACLU North State?
Well, I think we have a couple of things. I think the medical marijuana issue, because there's such a disparity between different local governments, so it's pretty confusing, and I'm sure that there's lots of local rights being trampled in that issue, and it's going to be in court for years, because a lot of these local ordinances and the way that they're being applied are probably wrong, but that'll be up to the courts to decide. I think we also have a discrimination problem as far as people of color, and the other thing will be the immigration question.
When you say discrimination, you mean here in Reading that people are being discriminated against because of their color?
Yes.
Can you give some examples?
Well, I can just tell you what the statistics were a few years ago when they actually tested for this. They don't do it anymore, but they had kept track of the stops that they made, traffic stops. Well, 4 in 100 traffic stops in Reading were Afro-Americans. So, but there's less than 1% of people in Reading that are Afro-American, and or in less than 1% people driving around Reading are Afro-American. So, for 4% of the stops to be Afro-American, statistically, that's significant. In other words, your chance as a black person is four times more likely than a white person to be pulled over. Or more, considering that traffic stop could have been a white person instead of a black person out of that 100.
Is that
so? That's an indication.
Okay, has that been addressed at all?
It has. Actually, we talked to Chief Modi when he was in, and they made some efforts, and they do have training, but it's only like 8 hours every 24 months as far as making officers aware of some of these problems. And a lot of it's perceptual. And it's not just limited to white officers. It's across the board. Even black officers are found to be prejudiced against blacks as far as pulling people over. So it's kind of an interesting...
So it's a profiling kind of situation.
So it could be law and order guys or against people that are breaking the law? Could it be like
Well,
that?
It could be more that blacks are more thought of as breaking the law because of whatever the distinction, but...
What is the percentage of black crime? I mean, if it's 1%, or if there's 1% of the population here in Reading, are blacks committing 4% of the crime?
No, I would say not.
Well, but we don't know. No, see, that's the only reason is that if they're pulling them over, it's because there's more crime. That's the only thing I'm saying. Is that what they're looking for?
But here's the thing. If you're targeted, then you're going to be more apt to be caught at something. So if I'm four times more likely to get pulled over, I'm four times more likely to have something wrong with my license plate.
You should listen to Chris Rock. I don't know if you've heard the Chris Rock part about being pulled over. Things you don't do.
Driving while black, yeah. And that's a problem for everybody, officers and everybody.
Absolutely. So, hey, look, we have got to run. Our guest tomorrow is Shasta District Attorney Jerry Benito, and Jerry's got a lot of things to say. Our guests today have been John Ertle and Doug Bennett from the ACLU. We want to have you all back on again.
Oh, thank you.
This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.